Planning Commission will now come back to order, and I will ask our staff to begin their introduction and staff report.
Thank you, Gary. Tonight you're here to discuss a topic, which is amendments to the North Bend Municipal Code, specifically two sections, and they're technically called 18.06.030 and also 18.10.025, pertaining to prohibiting new commercial truck centers and service areas and the expansion of the existing truck center. The proposed amendment would adopt as permanent regulations the interim controls that were established via Ordinance 1523 and extended via Ordinances 1552 and 1563 by the City Council. The interim regulations were adopted by the City Council under provisions of RCW 36.70A.390 as necessary to allow the city time to bring forth the permanent regulations that are on the agenda tonight. The interim regulations adopted by the City Council and also as proposed tonight are associated with what we call our East North Bend Master Plan Overlay District. And as you came in tonight, you would have found a map on your chair, and those who came later, we did have some back in the on the table at the entrance. The East North Bend Overlay District is a district, is an overlay district that is currently in our EP2 zone and specifically located at exit 34 in North Bend. The purpose of the district or the overlay was to create a very dialed in and specific zoning provisions for that area. It specifically was created to accommodate a well-coordinated mix of employment-generating uses such as office, employment park, research and development, and manufacturing uses. So the intent was to really look at this particular zoning area and create a coordinated zoning effort for this specific location or area of town. The intent also was to create a coordinated vehicular circulation and site design for the area to minimize the adverse impacts to the adjacent residential areas, the nearby school. It also stated it was intended to preserve the small town rural character and the nearby regional recreation areas that are all accessed off exit 34. It's important to note that the original code provisions that were established by the overlay district were adopted by the City Council in September 2010. The original overlay and the provisions therein did include a prohibition on commercial truck travel centers. However, those provisions did include a specific provision that stated that that the commercial truck travel centers is prohibited, but allowed and potentially allowed an additional 12.5 acre maximum for the city to consider, and it said may be considered. Within the EP2 general area over the overlay district, subject to a development agreement and a freight mobility plan to be developed, which addressed all the overall needs and adverse impacts of the industry on a regional basis and mitigated the adverse impacts in North Bend. Those adverse impacts were items such as air quality, noise, traffic and impacts to our streets and infrastructures as a result of the freight industry. The North Bend Comprehensive Plan within the transportation element strengthened that those provisions that were adopted in the municipal code through policy 2.27. Let me confirm that. 2.2.7, which stated that it's a policy that directed and guided the city, and it said work with county, state, and federal transportation agency planners and stakeholders to ensure that sufficient truck parking and parking facilities are provided and planned for along the I-90 and Highway 18 between approximately the Snoqualmie Summit and Preston, or as otherwise necessary to reduce the adverse impacts from trucks in North Bend. As many of you know, the city currently hosts Trucktown, which is the only truck facility within King County. And it's important to note that the proposed amendments to the municipal code tonight do not hinder their ability to continue providing the services that they currently do to the trucking industry. It does prohibit expansion of that facility, but not a reduction to their current services. It's also important to note that the city definitely recognizes the need for truck facilities along the I-90 corridor. It's been implemented in our comprehensive plan with the provision I just read, and it also within our code. The city is willing to be a partner and a player in providing some of those necessary facilities along the I-90 corridor. But the city is also not capable of receiving all the region's demands and needs from this industry. The impacts that the industry, if North Bend was the only site for truck parking and truck services in the King County region, the impacts from that on our city would be tremendous and very difficult for the city of about 6,500 citizens to mitigate financially. With that, I would like to actually introduce Mark Rigos, who's our Public Works Director, and I think he has some thoughts and comments on those actual impacts that from the industry.
So yeah, I'm only going to talk for a couple minutes. Mark Rigos, Public Works Director. I'm a licensed civil engineer in charge of the roads and utilities in the city of North Bend. Just a couple concerns I would have with an expanded truck operation. One would be pavement degradation. Trucks are pretty hard on pavement. A lot of these roads out there, North Bend Way and also 468, they're old county roads. They don't have great subbases, not thick enough. The asphalt's pretty thin and brittle, so a lot of times you'll see in trucking operations down in Kent Valley and so forth, they'll have a lot of concrete roads. They're much denser, and the roads last for a lot longer. When we do pavement overlays, they get very expensive. And again, you know, we're a pretty small city of 6,000-7,000 people, so we do those overlays each year, but they do add up. So the existing pavement can't handle more trucks. That would be a concern I would have for the city's budget. Two is level of service. It's often called LOS, and that ranges from A to F, F and E being bad, A being good. That's the amount of time that somebody waits in an intersection wanting to turn left. A and B means you're basically coming up to a stop sign and taking a left pretty easily. As you get to D, E, and F, you're driving in Issaquah or Bellevue or downtown Seattle where you just can't go anywhere very fast. So that's something that possibly could be mitigated, but something I haven't explored, whether signal lights would be necessary off the freeways. Another concern I would have would be just fuel spills, hazardous waste spills. There was a spill up there a few days ago off North Bend Way, and Washington State Patrol and our emergency management is on it. You know, spills can happen anywhere. They can happen on I-90. The city of North Bend does get our drinking water from a well just a couple miles downstream of here, so that's always a concern of people's drinking water and what's going on directly upstream of that. Just other concerns would be a middle school right nearby. Right now, the existing truck town is approximately 800 feet away from the middle school, but if it expanded to the north, it is a pretty highly intense use, and it is getting closer to a middle school and some residential properties. So those are just some of my concerns as public works director for North Bend. If you have any questions later, happy to answer them, and I'll turn it over to Londi or
Mayor. Mayor Ken's going to discuss some of the regional efforts that the city's been involved in. And,
a little history.
Yeah, history before I got here, some of the efforts we've made on truck parking.
And Jenna mentioned, and it's been said a lot on Facebook, that there would be a problem because when the pass was closed, there would be no place for them to go. And this ordinance would be, what would be the term, not in play if the pass was closed. It's out of play. So that's not an issue. The current truck stop opened in 1978. And I'm not certain how many spaces were available at that time, but I believe there's 175 now, and it's maxed out just about every night. Annexed in the city 2009, 2010, something like that. And when we inherited the truck stop and there's other areas out there, we didn't really know what we'd be getting. We had no clue. So, it turned out that there wasn't a lot of revenue from the truck stop. So it was surprising. And Mark mentioned the impacts of the truck parking overlays. You know, and it being the only truck stop in King County, it seems a bit incredible. What happened to the other truck stops? Where'd they go? I don't really know the answer to that, but I thought about that this afternoon. What happened to them? So that being said, I feel like we are really shouldering an awful lot of the need just on the shoulders and backs of the folks who live in North Bend. I mean, shouldering truck town is our impact. And we need other partners. You know, about 5-6 years ago, we started having what we call stakeholder meetings, and we invited people, Washington State Patrol, Washington DOT, King County Council and members,
Port of Seattle,
Port of Tacoma.
Washington State Legislature representatives.
We had those people. And you know what we found? As soon as we asked, can you help? Is it not our problem? Not our problem. Yours. That's wrong. Because this is a regional issue. So we actually asked the legislature to give us some access to some gas tax. Some extra gas tax, actually. I think Blaine has a 1 cent option gas tax that helps provide the mitigation they need for the trucks coming over the border. No help. And I heard that the governor sent a letter to the city of North Bend. I haven't seen it yet, but it's interesting that he implored us, apparently, implored us to not pass this legislation. But he hasn't called. He hasn't called to see what's going on here, to come out to say, hey, what's going on? Can we help? What can we do? No help. Not even a visit. So what I've found, though, when after the city council passed the interim reg, all of a sudden we got attention. We got people looking and saying, hey, we can help. So I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see you folks here because you can help. So it is the city council's duty to implement the vision and mission of the city, and those were created by the citizens through land use regulations. And that's what they're doing here. And it appeared to me, when I was thinking about it this afternoon, I was reading the vision again, and I'm not going to read it now, but there's nothing in the vision that says has anything to do with subsidizing interstate commerce. And it's totally inconsistent with the brand statement, which is we are a small town that's creating a premier outdoor adventure destination in the Puget Sound region. Our transportation budget is about $500,000 a year. The state's is about $16 billion. And it just doesn't make sense to me that we should be shouldering that. So, our comprehensive plan contemplates, as Jenna mentioned, a regional truck stop And the interim rig is consistent with that comprehensive plan goal. You know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about it. But a city of 6,000 people should not be on the hook for solving a regional problem. We need state and federal, county anyway, help.
And the only other thing that I think we should put on the record is Chapter 1010 of the North Bend Municipal Code is a specific provision that was referenced by Mayor Ken, and I think Jenna provides expressly that in the event of I-90 closures or in the event of emergencies, the no truck parking signs that you see along North Bend roads are not applicable. And in fact, when you see the North Bend police officers, they work hand in hand with the state patrol when there are those closures to assist truckers so that we can help them with safety issues to provide trucking along rights of way in those closure situations. So we do have an exception to provide that truck parking when we do have those emergency or road closure situations. So we recognize we need to be a partner when those emergencies do exist. But for permanent parking, there does need to be a solution. And I would also say that we have been working very successfully this last legislative session, that Senator Craig and our representative, Mark Mullett, has been working very successfully, and they've been looking at some sites, both at Exit 38 and some other sites along 18, that the state is finally interested. And WashDOT owns a couple of parcels along I-90 that they had as rest stops that haven't been developed, but there's really been some interest. They've also looked at the weigh station at the interchange of 18 and I-90. That's a very inefficient place to have a weigh station, and they've really seriously considered eliminating that weigh station. They're looking at a number of locations for additional truck parking. The state has finally said we need additional truck parking, but I think people have finally realized it doesn't make sense to burden North Bend with that, and the state is recognizing we need to be responsible to provide that finally. So I think the good news is there will be additional truck parking. There has to be additional truck parking. It's not safe the way it is. And I think the state is recognizing they need to step up. So I think that's the good news. That's all.
Thank you. Has everybody signed in on the sheet in the back that wants to speak for the public hearing?
No.
If not, please pass that around.
Is there more than one page on it so that you can start?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I as the chair, and I'm sure the Planning Commission also, are very happy for the involvement that you're showing tonight for the public hearing. I know it's time away from families. I know there's many things to do in our days, but we do appreciate your participation and invite you back for all other future Planning Commission meetings, because it's a lot more fun when we have all the people here to show their opinions.
You have donuts when there's room.
With that, as I call your name off the sheet, I apologize in advance if I make an error. You each have 3 minutes to speak. I've appointed our Vice Chair, Elizabeth Gildersleeve, as our timer. You'll hold up a sheet with 30 seconds left. Okay. All right. With that, Michael Thomas, please state your name and address for the record.
Sure. And by the way, I'm Michael Thomas. I reside at 1231 Forest Drive, SC in North Bend. I also noticed that my email comments were not in the record. I don't know when they're printed. But I wanted to speak a little bit about the ordinance as written. I have some concerns. I actually oppose the ordinance as written. I don't see how we can address the issues with the existing truck stop, the noise, the visual pollution, without allowing the owner to either expand or improve. I think we should consider, as a condition of expansion, visual and noise abatement. So I like the idea of the buffer. But I am concerned, though, with some of the aspects of the ordinance that, and some of the language in the ordinance that really appear to condemn the truck stop. And I would actually be concerned, as a citizen, being having to pay for condemnation. And the city takes away somebody's right to improve or business, and the ordinance seems to also be directed towards really making it a hostile environment for the truck stop. I'm a little concerned that we might be on the hook for condemnation. So who knows what that executive session was about, but I'd be concerned as a taxpayer about liability for that. The other thing is I see a lot of anger, so I'm following the Facebook discussions, and a couple people have mentioned in the room about, you know, the agony of the truck parking. I go over to truck town a lot. You know, I live in the city. I don't live near the truck stop, so I can empathize with the noise and the parking issues around it, but it is a hazard. So, but that's not the fault of the truck stop. That's the lack of the capacity along the regional corridor that everyone seems to be referring about here. But we're still stuck with the truck stop as it is. So what do we do to enable it to improve and or expand? And you know, my concern also with the ordinance is even if the owner wants to improve the stop, there's additional requirements in the ordinance. If he does an improvement more than 50% of his value, how does he pay for that? How do we have the owner unable to pay for those things without expansion or improvements? My concern on the ordinance is it kind of dooms the truck stop to be as is. How do you address the problems with it without allowing for expansion or improvements? That's one of my concerns around that. And I really feel that we're at an impasse. The ordinance, the way this is, it's just going to be as it is now. If we don't do anything, if we don't allow for improvement or expansion, that's my concern. And I think we need to address the problem of expansion and improvement potentially separately. Expansion, maybe you need more parking. It's already at capacity. It's not going to go away. But, you know, hey, folks are not opposed to expansion. Well, you know, so be it. But what about improvements? Like the idea of the idling mechanisms, like air conditioning or power or whatever. Those are great things, but how does the owner afford to put those things in? So I have some concerns with how do we actually address what's there. So with that, I'm hoping that we come to some resolution here. I'm a resident, I've been here about 18 months, so I like the area. But I also see that I don't see things changing with the way that ordinance is. So with that, I'll just end my comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Looks like Kenny Rogers is crossed out. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Next person on the list is Gene... Bacala?
Buckner. Thank you. I cannot write. I apologize.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Jean Buckner, 46226 Southeast 139 Place, North Bend. And I want to thank the mayor. I really think you totally understand this issue and have clearly been working with it for some time and understand all the ramifications.
Thank you.
And I think that, first of all, as you were speaking, North Bend and cities and towns like us, we need to expand our cities and towns based on our vision of what we want North Bend to become. Right now, North Bend kind of is a backpacky place where people from the city and Seattle and surrounding areas come to recreate, to get away from the noise and the diesel fumes and what have you. You know, my worst case scenario would be Mount Si, not covered in clouds, but covered in diesel fumes. And we have to share this burden with the rest of the corridor. And it sounds like you guys have been trying to, hey, Seattle, hey, Port, what are you guys up to? We're sitting here, we're a little town, we cannot handle this expansion. We have every right to want a safe place to park. You know, we're not against that. We live right across the street from the truck stop, and we want them to have a safe place to park. But we want the whole region to share in that. So my feeling is that North Bend's done more than our fair share of sharing that burden. Let's see. I also have a question about the taxes that the truck stop pays. My understanding, and it could be wrong, is that they don't pay very many taxes relative to what we're paying as homeowners in our little neighborhood a bit north of the truck stop. So, you know, people are saying, well, what about the truck stop? They don't have money or what have you to expand. They have all these tax breaks, what I've heard, maybe that's not accurate, to expand with. And I love the idea of them opening up new areas of parking where they can plug their trucks in and turn those diesel engines off. And I would love to see that move forward. Also, that area, this gentleman and I have kind of become friends, even though we're on the opposite side of the fence. Real estate developer, neighbor. There are all kinds of fascinating opportunities for that land there. and he and I are going to have an offside discussion about what that might be, you know. And we might come back to the city and say, hey, zoning, could this maybe work here? I would be hopeful that you guys would be open to that kind of discussion. That's all.
Thank you. And just clarification, is somebody on staff noting any questions that we could respond to from the public? So if you guys do ask questions, we're noting them down and we'll respond at the end. Yes?
I have a sign in if anybody missed it.
Here.
Okay, I'm going to try this Dutch.
Seedentop. It carries in our family.
That's your name and address for the record.
Dutch Seedentop, South 462-6 Southeast 139th Place. I've only been here 6 months. I'm still trying to remember it. The issue that I want to talk about related to this truck stop is the issue that's least controllable and most dangerous, regardless of there's expansion or there's improvement. And it has to do with diesel pollution itself. Diesel pollution in and of itself has far more carcinogens in it than all other air pollutants combined. There are so many studies on that across the United States and in the industrialized world. That's indisputable. So, beginning in 2000, the federal government, California, other states stepped in to see what could be done to mitigate diesel pollution. And regulations were installed, and the trucking industry has responded. There were levels and restrictions that were set to be active within 2014, now 2017, and regulations have been established to require reductions in diesel emissions up all the way to 2027. But the issue is this. Diesel engines, good ones, last for 30 years. They can put in 1,000,000 miles. And even with the regulations in place and what the diesel industry, the trucking industry has done, right now, even a late model 2007 diesel engine can operate without the basic particulate filters in the truck. So the issue is that whether the truck expands and whether it improves, I can't imagine there's a way that it can control the diesel particulates and the pollution that are coming into that area, let alone on the side of the highway. So we are not only bearing the load, as you well said, on the hook for the concrete, for repairing holes, for infrastructure and turnaround, and all the expenses go with just traffic safety, such as happened in North Dakota between Williston and Waltrip. We're on the hook for a lot of very, very dangerous air pollution. So one way to think about it would be this way. What are the odds? I don't think anyone knows what the level of pollution is and what the particulates are out there. Well, the way I look at it is, if this building were a school, let's say, and we knew there was a 50% chance that the school would catch on fire and a lot of people would be killed, would we be sending our children to that school? Would we send our children to that school if it was, say, the odds were 20%? What if it went down to 1%? A 0.5%? We don't know what the odds are in relation to the health risks for the truck stop as it is now. So I'm concerned. That's the issue that I'm concerned about. I'm sorry I ran over.
Thank you.
Okay. I think we're negligent in not knowing what that number is.
Next person on the list, is that Martin Volkin?
No, I just signed in.
Oh, okay.
By error.
Travis Bridgman.
Travis Bridgman, 713 Oklahoma. And I think a lot of us feel like the truck stop is, our community's changed slightly in the past 50 years. What's acceptable, what's common. And the truck stop, if any of us think, it's a kind of dangerous spot. It is part of the port. It's the portal to the Pacific Northwest. The trucks are stopped there because it's at the bottom of a mountain. And it needs to have appropriate accommodations somehow, which include heavy-duty streets, strict truck paths, where the trucks can go, they can park someplace safe. I love the idea of plugging them in, making some upgrades that scrub the air, have them go in warehouses. They're not poor. The trucking industry, the port, the transportation business of America is doing pretty well. So they should be able to, we should be able to, with the government and private corporations, really make that into a safe spot. Which it needs to have more policing, it needs to have surveillance, every truck that goes in. It really needs to be very censored. But to say the trucks should, it's a lovely idea too, to put them to exit 18 or somewhere. But they're going to be somewhere close to here. And if we can make bundles of money off of them, which we should be doing, then they can help improve our city too. But they really need to, we need to make a massive amount of money, whatever that is, and provide them with the appropriate routes and appropriate facilities to get in there, be safe, but also, importantly, to have that be a safe spot for the schools, for our civilization, and to allow it to mature off of being whatever our opinions are of it today.
Thank you for your comments, Travis. Next person on the list is Mark Nickel.
Hi, Mark Nickel. I live on 13530 476th Street. Street, I think. I've only been there for 6 years, sorry. two comments. One, I totally get that when the pass is closed, that we the no parking signs go out the window. That's cool. One of the most recent pass closures, the roads were had trucks parked on both sides, as well as straight down the center in the left turn lane. Driving through it was basically traveling both directions through two canyons of trucks. It was a pretty scary place. Also, entrance and exit into the facilities that are catering trucks are at 90-degree angles to the roads. So trucks going into and out of are usually making left turns out of right lanes or right turns out of left lanes. And when they're exiting, they're going straight across all the traffic. It'd be nice if we could get the entrance and exit at an angle so that they could move into and out of without damaging traffic on the road itself. Just a more efficient, a safer traffic route for getting into and out of merging traffic. That's it. Thank you.
Sharon Wilshire.
Sharon Wilshire, 249 Indigo Boulevard South, North End. First, I'd like to say I think I speak for several people here that it's very rude to call a public hearing and then for a certain time and have the public come out and then say, "Oh, executive session, we'll be back in 20 minutes and make us all wait." That was very rude and inconsiderate to all of us and our time and showed a lack of respect of the citizens' time. I would like to say that I don't support the ordinance as written. You know, we do need to do some type of expansion. It's a natural place for them to stop. It's the only place in King County, as y'all stated. I do believe that, yes, regionally, other people, you know, other areas, you know, are responsible to bear this load. But if we put such a restriction on this area, we're still going to have the problems with them lining up on I-90, even when the pass is open, and making things dangerous for our citizens and tourists, you know, people coming through the exit 34 area and along I-90, because it just isn't safe. They're leaving a lot of trash, biohazards, and things like that on the highway. And if we expand out there, then we have control of that. You know, then our greenway space out there can become green again and not littered with, you know, human waste and things that they can't, that they would normally dump at a truck stop. One of the things I don't understand is, you know, when the city annexed that area out there to become part of North Bend and not be county any longer, somebody should have done some homework to find out what is our tax revenue going to be and things like that. What is the impact going to be? I have a hard time believing that the people that were on the council at the time didn't know what Trucktown was about. I'm sure they lived here, you know, for a little bit of time, and knew, you know, hey, this is there. It's been there all these years. So I don't understand why they would annex something like that, and now they're like, oh, you know, you can't expand, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you know, almost like trying to push them out. We don't want you in our town anymore, kind of situation. And it does, by, you know, not allowing them to expand and haven't given the truckers a safe place to stop once they've come over that pass, because sometimes it can take them hours. It puts them over on their travel time with, you know, federal laws come into play there, where they don't have time to drive somewhere outside of King County because, you know, they've got logs. They can only be on the road for so many hours, and that's putting us all in danger.
Thank you very much for your comments. Next person on the list is Joyce.
Me, and I see that you have my statement, so I'll give my time to somebody else. I do have a question for Lonnie. Should I do
sure.
that now?
You can ask it, and then we can.
Right, my question for you was, I didn't get it written down fast enough. You said that there are people from the state of Washington researching along with you for land between here and Highway 18 and Tesla. Can you tell me who that is?
Senator Craig, he's the chair of the State Transportation Committee, and then our local representative, Mark Mullett.
Senator okay, Mullett. Perfect.
Senator Mullett, sorry. Sorry, it's not representative.
You,
Senator Mullett, yeah.
Thank you. Just real quick, the Planning Commission found a surprise when we came to the meeting that there were more comments than what we got in our initial packet. So if you guys have a thinner packet, you don't have all the comments, and so we have more reading than you have.
Thank you.
Okay. Next person on the list is David Hutton. Is that right?
Hi, my name is David Hutton. I live in 13906 463rd Avenue Southeast. Also, I'd like to echo the comments. Thanks to the mayor and the city administrator for your thoughts. Really appreciate that you're taking it seriously. And then just some of the other comments I've heard that I'd like to also emphasize is that we moved out to North Bend for the rural lifestyle, the quality of life, and really, I think the expansion of the truck stop would be a negative impact on that. As I mentioned in a previous meeting when we were discussing the rezoning of that area, is, you know, people in the city council or anyone who's making a decision just come and stay at a house in Wood River and hear the noise from the I-90 and the truck stop as it is right now. It's really noticeable, and I think any further expansion would have a negative impact on, you know, quality of life out there. And then what other people have said about North Bend being a tourist destination, and with the expansion of the Middle Fork Road, the paving of the road, it's going to be a fantastic destination for people. And I think expanding that truck stop would just be, you know, contrary to that whole move towards North Bend being a tourist and recreational destination. So thanks very much for taking the time.
Thank you for your comments. Next person is John Powell. Is that right?
John? I'm mainly here. I live at 45810 North End Lake in town. I'm just here mainly to observe. But there is one comment I might make. I appreciate the position North Bend's taking. They need some help from the feds and the state. And I know it comes all down from the feds. But as of a year from now, there'll be a monitor in a truck, it'll shut them all off. I don't care what age the truck is. That motor's going to stop if it's in gear. And if there's no place for them, you can't keep driving. You're just done. And a good share of them have it right now. But within a year, every one of the trucks will have it. But it might be just food for thought. There might be something done.
Thank you for your comments. Next person is Leah Gunderson.
Okay. I put my address down as the truck stop. I represent the owners. My mom is one of the owners. However, she's in Arizona with her brother who's on hospice and can't be here. I did just want to clarify a couple things and ask a couple questions. Sorry, I was taking notes so fast. Let me find a question. The mayor mentioned that the North Bend has inherited the truck stop and that they host the truck stop. Although the truck stop was annexed by the city, it is 4 miles out of downtown North Bend, and they chose to annex that. And you did mention it's been there since 1978. It's been in its current location since 1976. And before that, it was across I-90, actually before I-90 was built. My grandfather bought that truck stop in 1961, but started his restaurant in 1941. And just like, I loved your comment about they should have done some homework on the annexation, and if you're not getting any tax revenue from it. When I last worked at Trucktown in 1991, it was making over $15 million a year. So if you're not getting any tax money off that, I just find that very hard to believe. And then for the housing developments that are around there, Wood River was actually built decades after Trucktown was there. So I just have a hard time being a third generation North Bend person. When people move into this town and they buy a house next to a truck stop and a Cadman gravel pit that have been there since before I was, well, the truck stop was at that location from before I was born, but they've been there. So if you're going to buy a home, you should probably do a little bit of research into where you're buying and what is already there. I think that's it.
Thank you for your comments. Next person on the list is Jeff Martin.
Thanks, Gary. Jeff Martin, 13534 476th Avenue Southeast. been here about 18 years. I remember very clearly 5 years ago, hard to believe it's that long ago, when Jenna, his honor, other members, probably not serving now, spent an awful lot of time with an awful lot of citizens working on the plan for the city. And this, of course, was then a major consideration. I thought they did a very good job overall, and I remember all the debates that went up to it. I remember all the hassles about trucking, and I remember that it was a general consensus that there is no enemy here. We are not anti-trucker. We all have our necks in the same noose. We realize that trucking is indispensable. It's going to be around here one way or another, and that's the issue: is how do we work it? This gentleman mentioned the upgrade of Middle Fork Road, which will be completed in August. And anybody who's been following that knows that it's an immense project. They're doing it looks like a fabulous job. And you'll be able to drive a big camper up there. It'll be a fabulous destination. It's certain to generate a colossal increase in traffic, almost all of which will be coming up through 34. So whatever problem we have now is definitely going to get worse. Likewise, the travel guys are doing better. So, and there's more developments going on. So the problem is becoming very acute. The amendment is written, and I've been trying to figure out just what the motivation is to pull it out. If it's just saying, we give up, it's no good, we're pulling out, we're going to go home, I would say that's kind of silly and childish. I like to think what it is, it's a serious effort to get those in authority, whoever they may be, who are now doing this, as the mayor, I think, very aptly pointed out, to get together and do it. There must be somebody. Maybe it's our county council person. There must be somebody who has the responsibility. Certainly the Port of Seattle has an awful lot at stake, and they're not unknown. I mean, they've managed and built and managed the airport, the seaport, the fishing terminal, a bunch of yachting joints. Certainly they know a thing or two about running and managing operations. They know how to get money and financing. So it seems to, I'm hoping that what the effort is there by the city is to force some kind of action. And if that's true, I think we should all be saying, how can we help? One group that's not mentioned that I think is colossal political muscle is the Mountain to Sound Greenway. And we are right in the heart of their idea of the I-90 corridor between Issaquah and Thorpe. And they are a who's who. You know, the Secretary of the Interior, Sally Jewell, is a big monkey muck in that. They have all kinds of muscle. They can have tentacles everywhere. Surely they could help put something together. And we know now that they've got with that all that new wilderness area up there, this is the absolute heart of their dream. And I'm sure that it would not take much to get them actively involved. And I think you're a member of that, the director of it. We have others in here.
Thank you. Could you summarize?
I would hope we would pursue in that general direction. Thank you.
Next person on the list is Tom Weber.
I want to thank all you people for your public service. I could never do that.
Tom, could you please state your name and address for the
record? Too busy. My name is Tom Weber. I live at 48970 Southeast Middle Fork Road, which is not far from the truck stop. I was born in North Bend. Been here my whole life. And the truck stop is not a problem for me. Mainly because I don't have to deal with it. I can drive around it. There's transportation around it. I don't have to even go by it. Unless I need something, I can pull in and get it. Anyway, something Leah forgot to say is her grandfather, who I knew, started his truck stop in North Bend. In North Bend. Mayor Herring, you know that. It wasn't mentioned, but where R&R Rentals is was Ken's Cafe. Across the street, where Rio Bravo is, was a gas station, a fuel stop for trucks. And all the way from there, all the way to the roundabout, was where the trucks parked. That's where he started. He elected to move out of this town and set up 4 miles away to get away from it. And now the town's attacking his family. That's what I think, Ken. There's no reason for it. I think it's totally wrong.
Thank you for your comments.
Okay, let's hold applause. The purpose of a public meeting is to give testimony, but let's not have any clapping or comments after testimony. Thank you.
Okay, last person on the list I have is Catherine Myers.
It's me. Catherine Myers, 601 Ogle Avenue Northeast. I would just have to say that to me, part of the tradition of North Bend is the truck stop. I know that as somebody who has spent time going over the pass and back and forth, part of what we are is the last stop before the mountains. So I'd like to see something. I do think that the ordinance as written is a little unfriendly, but I would like to see that we're a little more friendly with them. However, that saying, I also think that I would like to ask a question of how can we get to me, it would seem obvious that if we have roads that are being beat up because of the trucks, how can we get truckers to pay for the infrastructure that needs to be in that place so that they can continue using that area? So that would be my question, is what sort of recourse can we get from the truckers? That's it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak that is not on the list? Anyone else? Going once? Twice. Okay, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Looks like 8:06, 8:07. Ah. Okay, Planning Commission, this is your opportunity to ask questions of the staff. Who would like to begin? I have a list. All right. It's interesting, some of my questions were answered during public testimonies. Okay, first question I have for staff. Given our publicized announcement in the paper and the public notice that was issued, has anybody from WSDOT, the Federal Highway Administration, the State Patrol, the Port of Seattle, or Tacoma contacted our city?
No.
Much of this area is a critical aquifer recharge area. Can you give us a quick explanation of what the difference is between a critical area 1 and a critical area 2?
Well, I can talk about it. Our drinking water comes from two sources in North Bend. One is at the base of Mount Size Springs, and then another one is Centennial Well, and it's in between exit 34 and 31. So critical aquifer recharge areas are often around areas where people get their drinking water from. City of Seattle happens to get their drinking water in a very protected watershed just up off of exit 32, and it's all piped in. We happen to get our drinking water right from the area, so we're very conscious of the vehicles, et cetera, that are in protecting those wellhead areas from development. So. Critical aquifer recharge areas are areas around sources of drinking water.
And why is there a designation between 1 and 2? That's what I didn't understand.
I don't know right here. I could tell you tomorrow. I know where to find that. So.
I think it was covered, but the current facility can make improvements. Lighting, showers, food service. They can install anti-idling measures. There's nothing in this ordinance that is preventing them from doing that.
That's correct. They can improve.
The current facility is 15.5 acres. So I guess my question is, on 12 acres, what do you think the city would permit as far as number of parking spaces?
That's hard to say.
If the 15.5 acres is about 149 mm-hmm. stalls, which they can park more on the mm-hmm. lot, but it's about 149 stalls. So, what?
Yeah. It kind of depends on what their site plan is. Do mm-hmm. they have a restroom facility? Do they have restaurants? Do they have land? Do we require landscaping? Do they need a storm drainage facility, a pond to slow down the water? So. It's kind of a loaded question, tough to say. Yeah. But they could probably, my guess on 12 acres, you could probably fit 100 to 200 truck parking stalls pretty easily.
Yeah. And that's all I'm kind of looking at. But,
probably more than 100.
Yeah. So when the pass closes, as it does multiple times in the year, what does the city do in response to that?
I can respond to that. Our police department works cooperatively with the State Patrol. I mean, we have generally two officers on about 18 hours a day, although that's for the entire city. So most of them get called to truck town. But even with the State Patrol, that generally isn't enough to handle it. You heard from one citizen today saying it's pretty precarious out there. So our officers generally spend most of their day over at truck town and in that general area during pass closures, just trying to manage the travel trailers and try to find a home for them. And you still see them during pass closures. You see them, I mean, I left work late one night during a pass closure, and there were travel trailer trucks, I mean, semis, not travel trailers, but semis parked all the way from North Bend all the way to Issaquah along I-90. So, you know, it's there's just not enough truck parking, even when they're parked all along city rights away and in truck town.
Do we extend any services during those times ever? Like, besides police, do we, you know, have porta potties or anything else that gets put out?
No. I mean, we have park facilities and those restrooms are open, but no.
And nor does the interstate.
And the state patrol doesn't.
The state patrol, know. Yeah.
So I guess I don't know if this question can be answered now, but thinking about revenue to the city, if we have an employment park and a professional building of two stories on 12 acres, what is the difference of just having a parking lot and a restaurant on 12 acres in revenue? I'm thinking that there's got to be some way to figure that out, but I'm trying to think about it. As we heard, you know, what do they pay in tax, and how does he get?
I did the calculation between, you know, the truck stop, kind of the sales revenues, like the annual sales revenues around, say $50,000 a year at the truck stop with all the sales revenue. And the problem with truck stops is we don't get, as the mayor mentioned, any gas tax revenue. So we'd ask, since I've been here and even my predecessor, a lot of truck stops, if they would give us a gas tax revenue, we could use that to mitigate the impacts, because there are more calls for police services and other types of uses and for, you know, the roads. But like a same size, say, mall, like if you took the same square footage and you put an outlet mall on it, it would generate about $500,000. So 50,000 to $500,000 if you had retail uses. So that's kind of your quid pro quo as far as retail sales tax. So you can have much higher uses that generates a lot more, and just sales tax, for example. And then B&O, you know, who knows the difference. I did not do the analysis on, you know, B&O on an employment park versus, you know, truck parking. But that's kind of an order of magnitude on sales tax. And then there was a comment, too. Somebody said, well, why don't you just charge the truckers to park there and make money? State law does not allow us to impose a tax on truckers. The only way under, there is an existing state law statute that allows the city to add a fee on top of a parking fee, but only if the operator charges a parking fee, we can put a tax on top of it. These operators have chosen never to put a fee on it. If they would charge a parking fee, like let's say they charge $10 a night, we could actually put a tax on top of that and get some revenue for the city. But because they haven't charged a fee, we can't put a tax on top of it. So,
thank you for that answer. To follow up, you said we don't get a gas tax. Didn't North Bend implement a transportation
benefit district? We have a transportation benefit district, which the voters graciously approved, actually, during the downturn in the economy. And we can use that money and revenue for street improvements, which we do use.
And so, does any of the diesel sales that happen there?
It doesn't come from gas tax revenue. It comes from, actually, we call it other people's money. It mostly comes from the outlet mall sales tax revenue. So it doesn't come, none of it comes from diesel sales tax. It comes from mostly folks stopping at the outlet mall and purchasing goods and services there. So it's a 0.2% sales tax that was added to sales tax, and a lot of people shop when they stop at Exit 31, and that revenue comes in, and we pay for repairs to our streets with that.
And then my last question is, did the Washington State Department of Transportation contact the city of North Bend when it was working on its 2014 freight mobility plan?
We contacted Freight Mobility Board, had a hearing with them, but it was the same story.
We've generally been told that providing truck parking is the responsibility of the trucking industry. It is a for-profit business, and it is the responsibility of the trucking industry that is a cost of doing business. And we've said, no, it's really a function of interstate commerce, and you, Port of Seattle, that ultimately gets the goods and services should be doing this. You, WashDOT, that should be responsible for public safety on I-90, you should be concerned because these trucks are going to be parking along the right-of-way and you're going to have a public safety concern. You should be. But everyone keeps, you know, that this is what we've done. And I heard one of the speakers say tonight that part of this is a strategy to get the people with the $16 billion transportation budgets to come to the table. It absolutely has been. Is we want the people that really can make a difference and help provide the additional parking come to the table, and that has been part of the city's goal, and we do have some players coming to the table now. So, yeah.
So, has questions for staff?
Mm-hmm. nice to see, as usual, you've hit a lot of the questions that I have. I'm just going to take a look.
I have one question. Looking at a number of comments, one of the big concerns, obviously, is, like we're all talking about, where do the trucks go during closures? And looking at the number of trucks that can go there now, about 150, maybe 175, and then possibly doubling that, and yet looking at the numbers of trucks that go over the pass every day, being about 6,500, as was put in here, I'm wondering, I can do some math off the top of my head, but have there been actual studies, it's a small percentage of an impact that we're talking about, and I get there's a lot of other considerations, but I guess to me, and I kind of lost my question here, but it seems very small, like a very small impact on all of that, on all the safety hazards, and yet maybe a major impact on, on our small town. So I guess just wondering, as we bring people, hopefully, to the table, that this is pointed out, that 12 and a half acres is not sufficient to solve the problem. So but where is a larger one? And maybe that could be my question. Where are some larger ones that have been possibly identified by the city or other stakeholders?
And I think, that really goes beyond the scope of the discussion tonight. That is the regional discussion. I mean, our comp plan says we work with our stakeholder partners, which we have been working with. But ultimately, what the Planning Commission does is look within the geographic boundaries of the city of North Bend, identifies land within those geographic boundaries, makes land use recommendations on that land for zoning, and recommends that up to the City Council. Ultimately, you're right. There's going to have to be land outside North Bend to provide sufficient parking, and the answer is going to have to be outside of North Bend. We ultimately believe that. There is not enough land within North Bend to solve this problem. The problem is bigger than the city of North Bend, and we have told the stakeholders that, and they are looking. They're looking at a number of sites that are outside of North Bend that WSDOT currently owns that are available, and I think ultimately the answer will be outside of North Bend. The answer may partially be inside of North Bend, partially outside North Bend. It may be a combination. And there may be an emergency answer that's different than an ongoing day-to-day answer. But ultimately tonight, we're hoping that you guys look at this overlay zone and say, looking at the city's mission and vision and the existing overlay, what is your recommendation to the council going forward? What do you think makes the most sense?
Question to you, Lonnie, I know you're an attorney. Is the word prohibited required language in this kind of ordinance, or could there be a different word used? It wouldn't sound so nasty towards the government.
Well, I mean, obviously lawyers like clear language and not, vague or ambiguous language. So I think it's clear. I mean, it's. If your recommendation, if you do not want to prohibit it, you need to make a recommendation. So I think you need to take all the testimony. You have a lot of reading material. We're going to bring this up at your next meeting. You need to go through deliberations, but you certainly have the option of coming up with a recommendation. It's your recommendation. So if you don't like prohibitive, if the majority of you don't like prohibitive, you can come up with different nomenclature.
Asking the question, is that a lawful term to use, or is there some other reason why you chose that one?
Well, that was existing language. I mean, that wasn't recommended. That wasn't part of the interim regulation. That wasn't changed. That's in your existing code and has been in your code since 2002 or 2005. Yeah. And you didn't like it then?
Didn't like it.
I remember the should and shall conversation.
Yeah.
So this
is
kind
of
a
question.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much reading, but I think that I need to read through everything that we've seen. It's probably I should listen to this tape again, since I was paying a lot of attention to the timer, and kind of absorb where we're going, and may have some additional questions since I've taken a look at everything.
Jim, any questions?
The one that struck me is people were talking, and the annexation, there's always stuff that gets brought up when that happens. And I was here. I don't remember a lot of energy around deciding on the annexation. It was almost like there was, we're just, this is going to happen. And I'm hearing comments, maybe I just didn't hear the people who own the property saying they did or didn't want to participate in that. Does anybody recall or comment?
Gary, I can respond to that.
Sure.
So this council and the previous one doesn't, or that, I should say the previous council during that annexation, didn't promote the annexation. It was strictly driven by the folks that lived out there, the people that owned the property out there. And they brought the annexation petition to us. And matter of fact, Trucktown was one of the ones that wanted it bad because they needed sewer. Because their septic was failing. So they wanted in.
Thank you.
So, and just for clarification, the way an annexation works is by state law, and the whole city doesn't vote on it. The way it works is the area outside the city, it's a annexation area. If a certain number of people, the state statute says 60%, they sign this petition. There's a couple ways of doing it, but let's just say it's a 60% method. If 60% of the property owners say, hey, we want to annex to the city, and 60% of the property owners sign this, then a process starts, which is started by this annexation petition. Then the city council look at it, and they go, are we willing to take it? Because a lot of times there's problems with the annexation area. If it's come through King County, you might have some standard roads that need a little help, and you might have a few problems. And then the council decides whether or not they're going to accept it. And so once they accept it, then the council votes on it. But it's not like something the whole city, if you were outside of the annexation area, would have voted on. If you're in the annexation area, you might have had a chance to sign on a 60% petition. But then once that occurred, once the annexation was voted on, then it happened and you became part of the city if you're in there. I'm not sure if you live in that area or not. So
and the 60% or whatever the percentage is based on those guidelines, it's about individual property owners, not the size of their lot.
Well assessed valuation.
It's assessed valuation. So it's the AV.
Join this conversation.
Yeah.
Wasn't Trucktown like other parts of this part of the urban expansion line? They weren't annexed, but they were, the city identified areas that they would want to expand their urban line to.
Where were they in the UGA?
We have some
when they were
right
annexed.
Around, you know, Sidon around there. We have areas that are not in the city, but are identified as urban expansion areas. At some point, those can petition for annexation, but the city has that now so they can agree to the annexation. It wasn't the city. Didn't the city include the Trucktown area as an urban expansion area, Ken? Was that?
I think you're talking about the mid-90s, GMA. And when that was created, they created those urban growth boundaries, urban growth areas. And this was included as part of the original urban growth area. We have never expanded our urban growth area because we haven't annexed all of what we have now.
Which is nearly impossible to do.
But did that allow you to accept the annexation because it was included in the urban expansion?
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't annex outside of your UGA.
But that's what I thought. So,
So one of my reasons for asking the question, it's one of those you kind of know the answer before you ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been my belief, I still think this, if you are able to become part of the city, you're going to be treated better than if you stay in the county. If you become part of the county, you're going to be treated a little better than if you stay in the state, because the smaller party that you're in, the more you can get paid attention to, and the things that you need will become easier to deal with. So I look at that whole scenario thinking, it's a great family. Let's figure this out. And I was asking those questions because I wondered how we all got to be in this. Thank you.
I think we need to reiterate about how they're being treated. They can expand, not expand, but they can upgrade.
Anything further, Jim?
Nope, thanks.
Mr. Heller.
Well, I don't think I have any specific questions, and I do have a lot more reading to do through this. I think a couple concerns or comments, I guess, that I just hear so far is whether prohibiting an expansion of Trucktown fits with city code and with the with the vision of North Bend and the comp plan. And I don't really think it does. I think that the Mount Sison Greenway that's been recently expanded on the Middle Fork Road fits well with the city of North Bend, and I think that that expanding Trucktown doesn't fit well with that vision, and especially right along exit 34.
So, Scott, I'm going to ask you just to save the rest for our deliberation, because at this point, if we don't have any more questions, anybody else have more questions for the staff? So,
Lonnie, is the issue of I don't know what the law is, but at a certain time, a trucker has to shut down because of drive time.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be wherever they are. Do they have to move to the next habitable area? Is there
no, they just have to
a
stop.
Law that they have to abide by there?
That's their federal law, and they're obligated to stop. And
just to stop wherever the heck they are.
Yeah, that's part of their responsibility. I mean, they have to plan their stop in conjunction with that federal law. So, but I think, again, you have to...
Will that force our hand in some direction?
No, you're not obligated, pursuant to federal law, to adopt land use regulations subject to that federal law. I mean, they're incumbent upon them to figure out where their stops are, based on available stops. So...
Good, thank you.
Any other questions? I have one, I guess I just thought of. Is there any way for us to know if any company has looked at these lots or this area?
That really shouldn't figure into your decision as far as an overlay zone. I mean, as far as any particular application, you're really looking at it as a legislative basis. Is this, you're not looking at any application. You're not looking at an application before you. It really shouldn't impact your analysis of this from a legislative review.
So with that, I guess I'm hearing from a few of you that you would like to do some more reading, and my sense is that most of you feel that way. So if that's the case, how do we want to move? Administrative and good of the order. Anybody have anything for good of the order? I have one.
So yesterday I just had some discussion here.
Yeah, we're going to have to read through the rest of the new comments that we got. We got an email with about seven documents.
The council has a hearing at their next session. They're going to attest.
No, we're going to bump. You guys need another. You have to review all this material and have an opportunity to deliberate. So we bumped ours until the meeting in March.
I don't know if you're all like I have read through the Puget Sound Regional Council 2040.
You got a packet of about 600 pages late this afternoon. So we bumped the council hearing.
I did, but didn't get the 9-11.
Dick reads really fast.
I mean, you got a freight mobility study, and it was about 600 pages long. So.
Okay, I have a request for the staff for our new comprehensive zoning map and land use designation maps, now that the comp plan was approved, if you could have the legal size printed for all the planning commissioners at the next meeting, so we can keep those.
I do have another question for staff. Maybe Jenna.
Mm-hmm.
The last three ordinances back in, starting with 2012, we have three ordinances that talks about extending the ordinance. Each one talked about the need for staff to do due diligence on a thorough study of the environmental issues. Has that thorough study been done? It was mentioned three times. Each time the ordinance was expanded or extended, it talked about doing this very high-level study of the environmental impacts of the diesel and all that. Did we get that study done?
The interim ordinance were extended based on a number of different provisions that basically stated the need to give not only the staff time to evaluate the interim regulations, but also the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission, you've been busy for about a year and a 2 years on comprehensive plan. You know, so the bandwidth there wasn't there. With regard to the ordinance at hand, the recommendation is to prohibit, and therefore, yes, we feel we've done that evaluation of the ordinance at hand.
But you were going to prohibit it if the findings that you talked about proved true. In other words, we were sending these ordinances because we needed to fulfill some serious environmental studies that would demonstrate there was a problem with, as we expected to find. We expected to find degradation because of oil spills, et cetera, and noise and glare and light. But it talks about an extensive study being done, and you need time to do that. And we kept using that as the authority to keep moving forward.
Well,
has that study been done?
Let me answer that. So, so SEPA has been done on this permanent ordinance, which will go forward to council the first meeting in March, and we will be adding some more material to the record. We'll go to council, and we're happy to share some additional information in conjunction with that to your next meeting if you want to see that. But again,
it's important for us to see it because that's why we were, why we kept doing this interim. Important is it because we were waiting for the study to come through. Now, we now look at it, we didn't make decisions based upon that study.
Well, keep in mind, we're dealing with a legislative issue. So we're looking at the area. And so the SEPA documents have been done, and we will provide those to you. It's the State Environmental Policy Act information. Once you have that, we can have this conversation in a little more depth, because it does go through kind of the evaluation of prohibiting this use in the city and how that prohibition or prohibiting the use, what the effect is based on the SEPA documents. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Anything else for good of the order? Okay. I thank the staff for the buildable lands report and also for the detail on the commercial and other development projects. So kudos to the staff for pointing that out to us. Appreciate it.
Can I make a general comment on the mayor's here?
I do.
Express my appreciation, Mayor, and the staff for bringing up the history of this site. I think it's valuable to understand how it started. I never had a clue that it began downtown North Bend. I can see it moving out.
No, I didn't bring that up. Leah did.
I know. Leah, thank you. You know, my former job dealt a lot with trucks, too, with warehouses. I understand that. I like knowing these historical roots and how things move and how things grow. I also understand how times change. And I just appreciated hearing the issue. I didn't know this before. It's really informed me a lot tonight. I thought I knew a lot about this town, but I didn't know nearly as much as I thought. I appreciate all the discussion that's happening here tonight. It's going to help me a lot.
Second that, Dick.
As he said. Reminder to all the Planning Commission, if you're going to miss a meeting, to email the chair as well as staff, not just one or the other. Okay? With that, motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second by Chris. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
We are adjourned at 8:38.
Thanks for coming.
You can't read that.
That's far away.
Thank you for waiting.
Do you mind? Do you mind?